We're in the midst of our summer sermon series, looking at the book of Acts, kind of the summer of love when that first church got started 2,000 years ago. It really was an act of love, God's act of love, and then those early disciples going out and living into that. And each week of our journey, we've been trying to find small ways that we can be that presence in the world and community in which we live in. We've done some interesting little random acts of love and kindness in the community. I think last week's was probably one of our more interesting. I asked for 30 dozen cookies to come into the church, and as you always do, we got about 50 dozen cookies. You know, that's what we do well here is cookies. And we found the businesses that were in our neighborhood that had people who would be working on the 4th of July. And I understand some of you went out and delivered some of those. Anybody who delivered some of those cookies? John, Keith, anyone got a good little story about something that happened on that? John?
We took them to Mimi's, and they actually got to see someone eat them and enjoy them instead of just handing them and leaving.
But so John took them to Mimi's restaurant and gave them to the waitresses who were working there, and they actually ate them on the spot.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good. It's a little card that said, from your friendly neighborhood church. Keith, where did you guys go?
We went to a tavern down.
You went to Tapper's Alley. Good.
Farther down. I'm not sure.
He took him into one of the local taverns and gave some of the cookies there. So I'm glad. See, it's your lovely church.
They were wondering what the heck we were doing.
What planet he came from. Good. It came from the planet of Jesus. Remember that. Yes. Gene, where did you guys go?
We went from Telegraph Beach Daily on the north side.
Uh-huh.
And these people were just dumbfounded.
They were just dumbfounded.
Two of them asked if we needed a collection.
If they wanted to give us something.
Being a good trustee, I said no.
Good. Good.
Good. I took them across the street to the farm department, which really wasn't my area, and I just told them and I gave them to them.
Well, thank you.
This is for you guys so that we call you to get here in a hurry.
Good. Good. Jean's always working. She took them to the fire department and said, don't forget us when we call. Right? That's kind of how that works. Acts of love. This Tuesday at 5 o'clock, if you're interested, you're going to find me, if you'd like to come and join me, about 5 o'clock. I'm going to be at the corners up here of Plymouth and Beach Daily. There's that four-way stop right there, and I'm going to have some coolers of water, and when the light turns red, I'm just going to step out into the intersection and hand people a glass of water for the ride home. Now, I got the city clerk here, and Garth, when they get the call down at the office, just say, that's my crazy preacher, and I'll have a talk with him a week from now. But we'll give people a cold bottle of water for a hot ride home, and with it will just be a little card that says, from your friends at Redford Aldersgate Church, enjoy your ride home today. So I'll be doing that this week. If anybody wants to come and spread the love of God that way, we can do it. So it'll be fun. Good. You're in? Good. Good. So that's what we'll be doing in our act of love. This week we continue on our journey. We're going to look at the fourth chapter of the book of Acts this week, and you all got one of these when you came in this morning, this little orange card. You know, it's the most valuable card in the book of Monopoly. Isn't Boardwalk, it isn't Park Place, it isn't any of the railroads or any of that stuff. The most valuable card in the entire Monopoly game is the get out of jail free card. It's the most valuable card in the entire game of Monopoly, because in Monopoly, if you end up in jail, you have to sit in jail until you get lucky enough to roll the dice that might let you get out of it. And you're stuck. And the game goes on around you, and you are stuck in jail, in prison, behind bars, and you can't move forward in the game of Monopoly until you get out of jail. And if you're lucky enough to have a get out of jail free card, the game can continue. You can be in first place. You can have Boardwalk and Park Place and have hotels on them all. And if you get stuck in jail in Monopoly and you can't get out, it doesn't matter how far ahead you are in the game. People can catch up, they can pass you, and you will eventually just be in jail. So the get out of jail free card is perhaps the most valuable card that you can get in the game of Monopoly. Jeannie asked me if this would really work. We can ask Garth if it'll really work down at the city hall. I doubt it, but you could try it. It's interesting. I'm learning as a pastor, from time to time, you come and try to find me and hope that I have one of these for your situation that you're in. That I have a get-out-of-jail-free card. Because you come in a moment of your life where you're kind of stuck on the board game of life. And you're hoping that your pastor has one of these he can give you. Get out of depression, free card. Get out of anger. Get out of shame. Get out of guilt card. That there's something I can give you in that moment. Some prayer I can say. Some magic wand I can wave that will get you out from behind the bars that you find yourself in, that moment you find yourself stuck in. You come to me in times of illness or in struggles with addiction or in moments of debt or bad relationships, hoping that I have one of these cards that I can give you that will get you out of the spot you find yourself in and get you back on to the board game of life. You come in saying, God, if there is a way, get me out of this situation now, get me a get out of jail free card. You know, sometimes we treat our faith as the get out of jail free card, right? That it's the ultimate expression of our faith. That when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we've all been given the get out of jail free card. And we keep it in our pocket, hoping and trusting when that day comes and we stand before the throne of grace, all we've got to do is pick out this card that says, look, you gave me the card on my journey, the get out of jail free card. And when it comes to that moment when death is the last thing presented in front of us, if we have the get out of jail free card, we should be fine and be the gates of heaven would be opened. Sometimes our faith is just that, a cosmic get out of jail free card, fire insurance, so to speak. I'm here this morning to tell you if that's all your faith is a get out of jail free card, then you're missing something. You're missing half of the thing that Jesus came to show us, not just how to experience heaven in the life to come, but how to experience eternal life in the life that is. Because the jails we find ourselves in aren't in the world to come always, but in the one that is right here with us. Remember the story we've been working on in Acts, right? We began in that upper room on that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit poured itself out on that church and people started speaking in new languages and people could hear and understand people who were different from them. And that Holy Spirit released that group of disciples out into the world to do acts of love and kindness, to incarnate God's Spirit given to us. And then we saw that story in that chapter last week, chapter 3. Remember, Peter and John come upon this man who was sitting at the temple gate. He was crippled. He couldn't walk. So his friends carried him to the gate each and every week, and they set him at the gate, and he sat at that gate each and every week, begging for alms, for coins, for pennies to be put in his jar. And along come Peter and John, these disciples of Jesus, and they say to him, we don't have money to put in your little jar, but what we got is more valuable than any money, than gold or silver. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And he handed him the right hand of fellowship, the right hand of community. This man who had been left to sit at the outside of the gate suddenly was offered an opportunity to be part of the family, to be part of the community. And this man who had been stuck in this prison all of a sudden was offered freedom. Freedom to be part of the family in a way that they had never been before. So we come up on chapter 4, and after this great moment of healing in the life of the church, the leaders of the church get together, and they were going to, you'd think what the leaders would do in a moment like that is make John and Peter chairs of the mission committee, right? No, what they do is they call them in and say, who on earth gave you authority to do that? And they called the local authorities and they hauled him off to jail. Peter and John did this incredible act of kindness and mercy, extended hospitality to one of God's children who had never been allowed to be a part of the community. And instead of the church celebrating, they said, who on earth told you you could do that? On what authority do you have to offer that man a seat in our community to heal him? What authority do you have to do that? And they take him and they throw him in jail. Listen to what they say in verse 8. They say to him, by what authority do you do that? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and we were asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He, Jesus, is the stone you builders rejected, which has now become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which they must be saved. By what authority did Peter and John offer that man healing, offer that man redemption, offer that man community? By what authority? By the authority of the risen Christ. By the authority of the risen Christ. For there is no other name under heaven and earth through which salvation comes than through the name of Jesus. Can I be honest with you for a moment? Scriptures like that, the no other name under heaven and earth has salvation been given to man. No one comes to the Father but through me. Those scriptures really make me nervous sometimes. They make me nervous because they're so exclusive, right? They're so narrow. And why do they make me nervous? Because I've seen people use those scriptures as weapons against people, right? Have you ever seen somebody use Jesus as a weapon to hurt or bludgeon or push somebody aside, to write somebody off, and quoting a scripture like that? Well, it says, there's no other name under heaven and earth, so you and your mess, I don't have to deal with it. So whenever I confront one of those scriptures in the passage, I have to kind of pray and ask God to tell me what's really going on in that, because I've seen those scriptures be used like a hammer to beat people into submission. They often are used to keep people out, people who don't look like us, or people who don't speak like us, or people who don't vote like us, or believe like us, or worship like us, because we can say, we can justify their exclusion by saying, look, it says right here in Acts 4, verse 12, no other name under heaven has been given to salvation except the name of Jesus Christ. I've claimed that. If you haven't, that's your issue. So why do I have such a hard time with that in the way that it's used? Maybe why do you, if that rubs you the wrong way? Because it doesn't look like Jesus when people use it like that. It doesn't look like Jesus when people use it like that. It doesn't sound like Jesus. It doesn't feel like Jesus. And maybe for the first time when I was reading it in preparation for this sermon, I noticed what Peter and John were doing. You see, the verses like that that we have learned to use to be kind of hammers and build fences around our faith, Peter and John were using it in a moment where they were pushing the community out into the world to invite new people in. Some of you are out there saying, this pastor saying he doesn't believe in the salvation of Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. I've learned that Jesus is the way. He is the truth. And there's no way to the Father but through the way that Jesus points us towards. But if it doesn't look like Jesus, and it doesn't sound like Jesus, and doesn't feel like Jesus, then the salvation that we hope will come in that name, people will miss. So it has to look and sound and feel like Jesus. Where does the church get its authority? From the same way Jesus got his authority. Jesus was the Son of God, had all of the titles, all of the authority, and all of the power. But how did Jesus demonstrate that authority? Through touching people who the community said were untouchable. By feeding people who were hungry. By washing the feet of his disciples. By dying on the cross. That's where Jesus got his authority. By showing us what God's love looks like, not by lording God's power and authority over us, but by showing us what it looks like. So why do we go out and do these silly, kind of crazy little things out in the world? Because we want to show the world what God's love looks like. Our authority in this community to be the body of Jesus Christ is going to come through the kindness and compassion that we show to people. I can now tell the kids who play basketball out there that they need to clean up the mess that they make in the parking lot. Why can I tell them that? Because I've sat out there enough times now that I know their names. And I know their stories. And they know I care about them. Because they know I care about them, they know that they can take care of this place. This place is now becoming their place. And it's because you, as a congregation, were willing to say, we want to show you what God's love looks like. The church gets its authority in the same way Jesus gets his authority. When the church looks and acts and sounds like Jesus, then it'll be the church set free to do God's work in the world. It'll be the church where people's lives are saved. And then people will say, you're right. There is no other name under heaven and earth except the name of Jesus. And if that's what Jesus does in people's lives, boy, I want to be a part of that. And that's what Peter and John said to them as they stood in jail, in prison that day. They said, it looks like this man who used to sit at the door of the church, but now he can walk. Verses like Acts 4:12, there is no other name under heaven and earth, is often used as an apologetic verse. It's used as a defense of the faith. Apologetics is those moments when we feel like we have to stand up and justify what it means to be a Christian, defending the faith with doctrine and scripture and the right answers. But notice what Paul and John never do in that story. They never stand up and list off their credentials. What they simply say is, look at this guy who just got healed. If that looks good to you, if that looks like God to you, if that looks like something you want to be a part of, then let me tell you the name of the one who does that. And his name is Jesus. Look at verses 13 and 14 of Acts 4. When they, the jailers, the people who put John and Paul, or Peter, who put Peter and John in prison, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that these two men were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. And so they released them from prison. I'm just getting back from a week of mission trip. Often when I come back from mission trips, somebody says, well, did you save any of those kids' souls? Well, I can tell you they saved mine. Let me tell you how this verse is true. And I come back believing in God and believing in Jesus Christ and the salvation that He offers more powerfully than I did a week ago. It says right here, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Do you want to know one of the greatest proofs of the Christian faith? Is that God does amazing things with ordinary people. With regular, ordinary people. The more ordinary you are, the more God can do with you. The more ordinary you feel, the more of a potential you are for God to do amazing things with you. Let me introduce you to a friend we met this week. That's Austin with Tim. Tim was our Redbird construction guide this week. I don't know if you've ever seen the cartoon Cars. You ever seen that? We live with cars in our house. Tim sounds like Mater, the tow truck, right? And he said that. You just call me Mater. We're going to get her done this week, you know. Y'all fixing to go to Dairy Queen or what? You know what I mean? It's that kind of a guy. Tim dropped out of high school in his freshman year. By the ways of the world, Tim ain't have anything to offer. Tim changed these kids' lives this week. Because this high school dropout, God got a hold of him and has now called him into service. And he's working for barely minimum wage, but he's found a ministry and he's making a difference in kids' lives. These kids this week learned more about what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus Christ from a man who has a ninth grade high school education, but they learned what it meant to be patient and kind and full of love and what it meant to pray for each other and what it meant to stand up for what you believe in. Tim was the embodiment of Jesus Christ this week. An ordinary, uneducated man like John and Peter became the proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me show you this group of young people and this house that they helped change. John and Peter said, take a look at this guy who used to not be able to walk. Here's a bunch of young people who, in a course of a week of doing things that looked like and sounded like and felt like Jesus, learned to walk. Learned to walk the walk of faith. And at the end of that week, as they stood around and shared about what that week meant to them, I began to realize that one by one they had been released from their prisons. Released from their prisons of self-doubt. Released from their prisons of jealousy and anger. Released from their prisons of self-centeredness and greed. You know what they say about teenagers? They were released from all of that this week. Because there is no name under heaven and earth except the name of Jesus Christ. And when you look like Jesus and you sound like Jesus and you follow Jesus, you're going to end up like Peter and John and you're going to find yourself in this jail and in this prison and suddenly they're going to say, we have no reason to keep you here anymore. Because what you did looks like God. Take that card home this week. Put it in your pocket, in your wallet, in your purse. And if there's ever a moment in your life that you feel stuck in life's prisons and life's jails, caught in a moment, pull that card out and remember that there is no name under heaven and earth except Jesus Christ that offers us that prayer and that salvation. And then be like Jesus. How did these young people find themselves out of their apathy and being stuck in these teenage moments of angst and anxiety? By giving themselves away to somebody else. Simply an amazing week. If we were to read on in that story, it would say, Peter and John said to the authorities, if you're asking us to stop talking about this, we can't and we won't. For what we've seen and what we've heard, we simply have to tell. And I'm here to tell you today. If you want to know what Jesus looks like and Jesus sounds like, find one of these young people who were on that trip last week. From what I can tell, they aren't going to stop talking about it because it truly made a difference in their life. You got the card. But in order to get out of jail, you got to follow. Follow the one who looks like Jesus. Amen? Amen.